Good to see y'all on this midweek service. And be turn the book of Numbers with me, Numbers chapter 13. Do not fear. We've had a lot of events happen, as we know, this week unfolding. A lot of emotions, a lot of opinions, a lot of political rhetoric, a lot going on. And I just, the one thing I want to say, it's absolutely horrible what happened, those 49 lives that were just taken. And there's only one thing to call it. And it's not about a gun. It's about a spirit. It's called evil. Evil, plain out evil. And evil is trying to rise more and more. And I know many people have different opinions on this. And as a country, our leadership is split. And most of us are on one side of the fence, the other with it. But we must call it what it is. And it is evil. It is terrorism. It's strictly all it is. And the thing that protects us, as we know, is our trust and our peace in the Lord. To know we're going to be okay. You know, terrorists are like a bully in high school or middle school that comes up to you and tries to keep you tormented all the time, keep you bound, keep you scared of them. And we, as Christians, do not need to live in fear. My daughter Christian is supposed to be going to Orlando in a couple of months, and I mean, it's been one thing after the other in Orlando this week. And she sent put a text on Facebook, or a Facebook post, grieving, afraid, you know, acting after her mom. So I wish I was home with you and dad right now. I just need to be with y'all, and just so rattled, so scared of what's happening. And that's exactly what the devil wants, is for us to live in fear. How can we live in fear if we are people of faith? See, faith, the polar opposite of fear. Faith cancels out fear. Faith defeats fear. Faith overtakes fear. We do not need to be afraid of what man can do unto us. For we know whose hands we belong to and whose hands we're in. And I know there's a lot of stupidity, even among Christians. People saying this is the wrath of God and the judgment of God and all that bunch of bull. Church, this was evil. It was evil. That's all it was. It was evil. It was a terrorist plotted attack of evil. God had not used this Islamic terrorist. You got that on recording, right? He did not use this Islamic terrorist as a tool of his vengeance. This was used by the devil. Used by the devil. Yes, as Christians, most Christians do not support the lifestyle of homosexuality, and we know that. But neither do we support murdering those or killing those that don't believe like us. That's not Christian either. And I'm hearing preachers and different people come up talking about this, and just I'm like, where are we at here? Don't we understand that the love of Christ is what breaks the back of sin? The love of God breaks the back of sin. We're going to get into the story of Moses here, and y'all probably remember the story through the years of reading it about the 10 spies that went in the land of Canaan and how fear gripped most of them except for a couple men who didn't look at the fear aspect of it. Numbers 13, verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. He said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many." Doing a simple military scouting report. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities are inhabit are like camps or their strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or not, but be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Verse 25, we're skipping a little bit to time's sake. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they spent 40 days spying this land out. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told them and said, "We went to this land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and here's the fruit." Nevertheless, I want you to keep it on this verse for a minute, Brandon. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So here becomes the first negativity, the first doubt. The land's good, the fruit is good, but these cities are big, the people are big, and the people are strong. Next verse. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea. All the different tribes of people, and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Shouldn't that be our mindset as Christians, men and women of faith? We can overcome this. We're stronger than this because Christ is stronger than that, and he lives within us. So what? The people look bad and big and scary, not bigger than God. So what? There's many of them, not more than God. So what? They seem tall, not taller than God. Nothing outweighs God. Nothing is stronger than God. Nothing is bigger than God. And we do not need to let the devil keep us in fear and keep us bound to where our life function changes because we're worried about, if I go here, what if someone attacks me? If I go here, what if I get attacked? What if I go there? What if I go here? We need to trust God. Evil's everywhere. Evil's all around. And we need to trust that the cloak of God's enough to cover us and to keep us from any attack ever in our family or upon our lives. We are the children of God, and there's no higher calling than that. Doesn't matter what's bigger. Doesn't matter who is blowing out all these, bullets. I'm going to tell you something. If America was the America it was 50 years ago, this wouldn't be an issue, period, to begin with. Now, is that a political statement? Yeah, it is. Sue me. Yeah, it is. If we were 50 years ago, this would not even be happening. Our leaders would not be sitting back saying, "Just let them attack us. We're not doing anything about it." Are you serious? We would drop a bomb upon their head. That's just the old America. But anyway, I do have a point to that. As Christians, we need to rise up again too, like the old Christians, and say, "You know what? I'm not going to take it, devil. I'm not going to take you tormenting my children, tormenting my family, tormenting my mind. I'm not going to let you put me in bondage. Jesus set me free. Why am I going to be back in bondage when Jesus has already set me free?" Don't be afraid to send your kids to school. Don't be afraid to put your kids here. You got to trust God. God, you're with them. And I'm talking as a parent. I know it's hard. I got my last one starting high school. I don't like that. This is the one kid I wish would not grow up. I guess because it's the baby, I guess. I don't know. First two, yeah. This one's like, slow down a little bit. Just slow down a little bit. But you know what? She's growing up too. And she starts high school. And my little Ashley is so innocent. She is so under her years of what a lot of these 13, 14-year-old kids are. Thank God for that. I'm so thankful that she don't know. I know she knows more. I probably realize a dad. But she definitely is not near as seasoned as many of her comrades. And I'm thankful for that. So high school is going to be a whole new awakening for her. And I'm like, "You know, Lord, she's in your hands. I can't do a thing about it. She's got to grow up. You know, DNA just kind of does that. I can't stop it. I can't pull it back. She has to grow up. So you know what? I got to let her go, no matter how hard that is. And trust that God's hand is on her. Don't be afraid to go places, or don't be afraid, or don't lose sleep at night worrying about this and that and this and that. Put your trust in the Lord, period. It's a much easier life to have peace in God than try to have peace in yourself, because there's a lot of things that will rattle us if we let it. The men who had gone up with him says, "We are not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are." I've said many times, we've got to magnify God, not magnify the problem. Not magnify the enemy. Magnify God. Because when we start magnifying God, we see God a whole lot bigger than what we see when we don't magnify him. We start magnifying God, he becomes bigger and the enemy becomes smaller. They were afraid. Already they're bigger than us. But you got God. Now remember, let's back up a little bit. These are the same people, the same men who saw God, Jehovah God, bring them out of Egypt. The same people that saw God part that Red Sea with the breath of his voice, parted it, and they crossed over on dry land. The same God that saw all the plagues come but didn't touch them. The same God that saw Pharaoh release all of his free labor and tell them to go and take possessions with them. The same people that saw God put a cloud by the day and a fire by the night to lead them, protect them, the very same God. Now why, if they sing this and this over and over and over, surely if God can destroy the Egyptian army, surely if God can kill Pharaoh and all of his leaders, surely if God can do all he did, surely he can take care of the next battle, can he? We must remember sometimes where God brought us from and what God did for us yesterday to give us faith he can do it again tomorrow. Because God's not changed. Like I heard a preacher say, I can't take credit for this story. I thought it was a neat little analogy. This man said him and his wife got married. He had a pickup truck. When they were first got married and young, he'd always put his arm around her to pick up truck. She would slide over, and he'd always hold her. For years and years, he held her. Every time they drove the pickup truck, she would slide over, and he'd hold her. They're going down the road one day, years later, and she said, honey, says, you know, when he's young and stuff, you used to always hold me and had your arm around me and stuff, and says, you know, you don't do that no more. He kind of looked at her and smiled. Said, well, honey, I ain't the one that moved. Think about it. He was still driving. She was on the other side. I'm not the one that moved. God's not the one that moved. We're the ones that move. For those that say, God, I don't feel like I used to, or God, I don't experience like I used to, or God, I miss, for some of us, God, I miss the old-timey days, or I miss the old-timey movement, or I miss, God, how I used to feel when I raised my hands, or I miss, God, how I felt when I come to the altar, and I don't seem to feel that no more. God's not moved, and God's not changed. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. You're the one that slid the other side of the truck. Not me. I'm still driving in the same place I always was. I'm still on the throne. You're just not as close as you was to me. So it comes back to saying, you know what? Do y'all remember a day? I mean, I do as a young person. You know, a day when, man, you felt so close to God. And you walk with, man, you wasn't afraid of nothing. I mean, you used to taunt the devil. Come on, Satan. I dare you come to my house. You come on, Satan. I don't need 911. I got John 3:16. Come on, baby. I will slam dunk your pointy forked head on my kitchen floor and stomp you to the ground. Come on, devil. We used to do that. We weren't afraid of nothing. And now every storm, every battle is a nick in our armor that seems to pull us away from God instead of drawing us to God. We praise God in the storm. We praise God in the battle. We praise God when the giant is staring us down. We still can be David, and he is still Goliath, and we still remind him, not by my power, not by my will, but by the Spirit of the Lord, you shall be destroyed. We still have that same fire within us if we'll use it. But we've let the world rob us of that. We've let the enemy rob us of that. We've let our own slothfulness maybe rob us of that. And we're the difference in these men that said they're bigger than us. Caleb says, no, they're not. They're not bigger than us. Let's go take it right now. We used to be in that time period where we said, we're going to take it right now. We're going to take possession back of what belongs to us right now. I'm tired of losing the stuff that I've lost. I'm tired of it. It's time to get it back. They're not stronger than them, but that's how they saw it. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature, but not more stature than God, not bigger or stronger than God. What were they afraid of? They were looking through the eyes of their natural sense, looking through their eyes, their own fear and their own measuring stick, instead of looking unto God as Caleb did. The reason Caleb could steal the people, he saw God, he didn't see the enemy. He saw God, he didn't see the giants. He saw God, he didn't see the circumstance. I just see God. And God is bigger and God is greater, and God is better. So you know what? Who cares they're big? My God's bigger. There we saw the giants of Anak. They came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. All of a sudden, now they're seeing themselves as grasshoppers. Now all of a sudden, their vision has changed to being the children of God who marched out of 400 years of slavery, crossing a sea that should have been there but wasn't, all the plagues, all the things they endured, and now they're reducing their mentality to we are grasshoppers. We're not grasshoppers in Christ, church. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. We are the head, we are not the tail. We are above, we are not beneath. We are the blood-bought children of God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are more than conquerors. Greater is He that's in us than all the Anaks that are in the world. Greater is God than all the giants, all the violence, all the evil, all the terrorists, all the Muslims, whoever tries to attack us. Our God in us is bigger than any of those. And that's what we got to go back to. God, you're bigger and you're stronger. I'm not a grasshopper in a sight. God, when they see us, when the enemy sees us, they ought to shake and tremble. Because here comes someone with the Holy Ghost. And them demons ought to tremble at that. They ought to tremble. I remember my good friend who's passed away, Tony Button, shared a story with me in my office years ago. It's before he got saved. He went to a church service. He was running. He was in rebellion. Before Brother Tony got saved and started preaching, he was lost, like most people. And he was not living for God at all. He was very much living a sinful life. He said, I came to church, came to revival service. This guy came to invite me, so I went. He said, I sat on the back row of a church, had old wooden pews. I'm on the very back row. He said, a preacher had an altar call. And said, when he started having the altar call, I asked him what he said. Let me back up. When he got up and started preaching, he said, as soon as he stepped the platform and started preaching, I saw fire in his eyes. He said, I knew I was in trouble. Them demons, I wanted to get out of that church, but I couldn't seem to make myself move to get out. He said he had an altar call at the end. And says the altar call, when he invited people up, said I was sitting in the back row, I had my hands on the pew in front of me, and I gripped so hard trying to hold on to not go to that altar that I dug marks in the back of the pew. I dug it in there trying to hang on. But then something released. I walked up to that altar, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost at that altar. See, fire in his eyes. The power of God, the darkness of the devil is no competition with the fire of God. None. No competition. The Holy Spirit is more powerful and stronger than any demonic force that would try to come upon us or our lives or our families. But we got to walk in it and we got to use it and we got to exercise it. And Caleb was. Caleb was seeing God. He wasn't seeing the giants. I mean, I bet Caleb was like, are y'all serious? Do you know who we serve? Do you know who's up there, big guy? I mean, really? Have you seen what our God did? How much more does he have to prove himself before you will trust him? How much more has he got to do before you start measuring things? Remember, King David committed a great sin, and his sin cost 70,000 lives. This is in Samuel Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, and I think 1 Samuel 2. Cost him 70,000 lives because he went out and numbered his army. And he either got prideful, something happened, but he went out, and it took them 9.5 months to do this survey. After 9.5 months, they came back and told David, yes, you've got 700,000 troops in Israel, you got another 500,000 in Judea, 1.2 million soldiers in your army. And the Lord was mad at him. Don't you trust me, David? Why are you numbering your army? I'm the king of army hosts. I'm the Lord of the army. You're numbering your troops, trying to get a measuring stick of where you stack up. He put his faith in his ability and not God's ability. So many times, don't we do that? We place our faith in our ability instead of just letting God do what he does best, be God and trust his ability. Because God can move mountains we can never budge. God can slay giants we can never even look at in the eye. God can just take care of a situation if we'll let him. Caleb knew that. Caleb wasn't a grasshopper in his sight. Caleb was a child of God, and he knew it. Next scripture. Now we're in Numbers 14:1. So after they hear this report, all the congregation lifted up their voices. They cried, and the people wept all night long. I mean, I just really think about this. They had done seen God do all this stuff for them, and now here they are crying. Here they are crying. All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation says, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, if we had only had died in the wilderness. Isn't it amazing how when our faith gets challenged, we revert back to a self-pity or a defeated mentality? Man, God wasn't done. Why would God bring them out for them to die in the wilderness? He didn't. He had a purpose. He had a plan. And his plan would be realized. It would be fulfilled. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? What's in Egypt? Church, what's in our Egypt today would be our old lifestyle, our old ways. What is there to go back to from where we are now? Why will we go back after God's brought us out? My God, that's foolishness. To think what we had back there is better than where God has us now. Yes, we have memories and maybe times of our life. We had happy times, but I'm talking about, you know, our life outside of Christ. Why would we go back to that? To know that I now have a life in the Lord that's forever. I've got a forever covenant. Why would I ever want to go back to a place of bondage when Jesus has set me free? Why do I want to go back out of jail? I mean, nobody has been in jail wants to go back to jail. Not normally. Not unless they don't have any other place to go. I mean, nobody wants to go to jail. Once you're out, man, I ain't going back to jail. I don't want to go back there again. Mm-mm. I like numbers, but not them kind of numbers. I ain't going back to jail. I mean, nobody wants to do that. I mean, poor Charles Laughlin's got 3 more years been in jail before he gets out. And he's, you know, he's miserable there. He so wants to be free. Nobody, once they've been free, wants to be bound again. But sometimes we do that. I mean, God has set us free. Live like you're free. Free. Live in that liberty. They said one to another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Moses, you was good, boy. But we got done with you. Let's get another leader that'll take us from the promised land entrance back to Egypt where we prayed to you, God, for 400 years to set us free. Now you set us free and we're praying for you to put us back in bondage. Makes no sense. All this mental rationality, you know, this rationality is because of a lack of faith. They're seeing a problem in front of them, and instead of trusting God to defeat the problem, their solution is to hightail and run. Instead of saying, you know what, God, you brought us this far. You're not going to let the Amalekites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites defeat us. In church, we as God's people, there is nothing that any terrorist organization or group can do to rob us of the eternal covenant we have with our Father. Nothing. If I was walking the street and one come and shot me to the ground, guess what? I'm with Jesus and he did not win. Hallelujah. I've got the victory. I've got Jesus and all the virgins. Hallelujah. I win the battle. We cannot live in that fear of worrying about the what ifs. As we know, most what ifs don't ever happen. Some do. I mean, if you keep saying, I just know one day my transmission is going to break down, well, that's pretty common if you got any kind of American car or foreign car, actually, because of ours. Our transmission is going to, you're eventually going to go out. But I'm talking about in life. We worry about all these what ifs, what if, well, if my kid, what if this, and what if they hurt them, what if that's torment. Nothing but fear. Don't live in that fear. Don't fear. So now they want to select a leader and go back to Egypt. What to go back to? Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Thank God for men of God. Before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, they fell down, began to pray. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of that guy who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. That's an act of repentance, an act of humility, tearing your clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Don't fear the people of the land. We know there are people that hate us because we're either American or we're Christian. And they hate us for that. But do not fear them. The Lord is stronger and the Lord is mightier to watch over his people and over his children during this time. I text Christian in the night. I said, baby, you can't live in fear. God's got this. You know, we can't allow other evil forces to rob us of the peace that we say God's given us. We sing songs like that, Peace Speaker and Peace Like a River and, you know, Peace Beyond Measure. And I mean, we sing songs and we talk about peace. So hang on to it. Keep it. I mean, we should walk the streets. Peace, man. Peace. Peace, y'all. Peace out. Peace up. Peace in. Peace. I mean, we just don't let the devil rob you of that. And I can relate, Brandon, to your attack because I'm not maybe, I don't know if you call what I've had, you know, that, but I have definitely had anxiety attacks at night. And I've definitely had issues of feeling like I was dying in my sleep. I've laid in bed and felt like my body was slipping off to somewhere else. I've had those feelings over and over. It's a scary thing to experience. And I remember calling on the name of the Lord, and he would always calm me when I do that. It's a scary thing to have that experience. But when you invoke the name of Jesus and when you call upon your Lord, he was never, every time he was faithful to calm me down. And I'd feel myself settle. The devil wants to rattle our peace. Don't let him. Don't let him take that from you. God gave you that peace. Don't let the devil take it away from him. They are our bread. The people are our bread. Their protection, look at this. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. We know the truth. We know the truth, and that truth is what our enemy hates. They hate that we believe in Jesus Christ. They hate what Christianity stands for. They hate it, but don't fear them. They hated Jesus. They hated his followers. These countries hated the Jews way back then. Hated them. Hated Jehovah God followers. Hated them. Then hated the disciples, hated the apostles, hated the people that followed that way, hated them. But God was with them, and God is in us, and God is going to get us across to the other side. And church, we win the war. We win it. In the end, we stand before the throne of God, declaring, Hosanna, blessed be the Lamb of God. We have that victory. And they can't do nothing to take that out. Nothing. Me and Mel were talking the other day, and her phobia, her biggest phobia, I guess it'd be number one, is mice. Do what? Might be what? Oh, okay. Her only phobia. Excuse me. She's that good. But anyway, mice is her phobia. I mean, mice. She's more scared of a mouse than she is a snake. I mean, mice, she is, I mean, I'm telling you, that's her thing. Her hell would be dropping in a pit of mice. Hell for her. So we're talking the other day about this, about terrorism and stuff like that. She says, you know, mice is my phobia. If they told me to go throw me in a bunch of mice, said I still wouldn't announce Jesus. I would just pray to God he'd take care of me really quick and just take me home. So, you know, die before you hit the bottom. That's right. Lord, if they go drop me, let me just have a heart attack on the way down because I don't want to touch those mice. But you know, it's amazing how God can calm our fear. And I believe when people are passing over to the side, Christians, saints of God, that you see that peace on their face. And there's a reason you see that peace. It's because they're seeing their end, or really their beginning. And they're seeing something we can't see. And I believe that God has given that peace to let go, to cross over, to embrace what God has planned for them. Psalms 23, very familiar scripture, 4, 5, and 6. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. though death is all around me, though darkness and shadows are all around me, though they seem to follow me like a plague, though they seem to be here or seem to be everywhere, I will not fear. Why? Because you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How can I fear if I know God is with me? I mean, you know, if you had your, what if you had, especially you ladies, I guess guys too, we don't admit as much, especially you ladies, you had an armed police officer with you everywhere you went, right beside you. You'd be a lot less afraid, wouldn't you? Go anywhere. Unless it's Barney Fife, yes. We don't want Barney Axie. Yeah, no Barney Fife. But any other cop. I mean, you would have so much more peace. I mean, you would even walk the bad side of town with a little more knowing news right beside you. You'd be walking down Boulevard. Yeah! Say something now. Come on, mess with me. Look what I got. Hey! look what I got beside me. Think about it. You got David Lee walking beside you down Boulevard, right? He's walking, got the gun, the pepper spray, the flashlight, the handcuffs, the beat stick, whatever you call it, the badge, and he's walking right beside you. You feel a little bit safer. I would too. Hold my hand, David. Well, I'd feel safer too. You know? We got God that's with us. And he's walking with us. And our God is armed all the time. Armed with everything we need to help protect our lives. We do not fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities and spiritual wickedness in high place, the Bible tells us. And we arm ourselves with the armor of God, the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. And that sword, that Word, is our weapon that we stand and we fight the enemy with. We have an all-the-time, on-duty officer called Jesus with us that's armed and prepared to protect us and give us what we need so we can walk with boldness. And an army of angels, absolutely. An army of angels watching us when we can't watch ourselves, watching our kids when we send them away and we don't know where they're at. You know, it wasn't easy sitting in Christian, even in Greensboro, even though she was close. We were thankful when she first went to college and she wasn't moving away somewhere. But Greensboro isn't the safest city. And Greensboro is a lot bigger than Statesville, and a lot more stuff goes on there than Statesville. And here we're sending our 19-year-old daughter at the time to this, you know, Greensboro metropolitan city, living, you know, without our care and our protection. You know, I can't, you know, look at boys and give them the eye, you know, and I can't, you know, I mean, she's totally on her own. But you know what? We let her go and trusted God. And when we sent Jamie to Nebraska, that wasn't easy either, sending him 1,400 miles away to a place outside of our care, you know, but we had to trust God. You know what? You can do far more than we can do in our control. And so God, if they're yours, you will take care of them because they're yours. Guess what? We're his. He's going to take care of us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the devil can't do one thing about that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He can't do one thing about that. Church, if our breath leaves here, we're dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. We have arrived at our destination of eternity. We've arrived. You know, I love the old Twilight Zone episode of the guy that goes back in time, that city, Willoughby. It's called Willoughby. I love that episode. This guy's got a hustle-bustle job in New York City. He's got stress, phone rings in the office, you know, boys are screaming at him, and he's overtaken. He rides a train one night, has a dream. It's 1898 or 1899. The train starts from this old-timey town with the bandstand playing, you know, and people riding bicycles. And it's like 60 years earlier than what the Twilight Zone is, and he just falls in love with it. So he rides the train again the next night, goes back to sleep, wakes up, and he hears an announcement saying, Willoughby, Willoughby, anybody, Willoughby, Willoughby. He tries to get off and couldn't the second night. Third time, he gets off. The story is he just jumped off the train. They thought he committed suicide, jumped off the train. But he was seeing something, and he wanted to be a part of something greater and better than where he was at. So he found his Willoughby. And when he got off the train, they called him by name. Hey, Mr. Jones, or his name wasn't, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, welcome. Good to see you here. They all knew his name. Well, guess what? Heaven's a lot like Cheers, right? A place where they all know your name. God is going to know our name. And that's a beautiful thing to know, that our appointment is set by the blood of Jesus. Our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day, we will walk into our Willoughby. One day, we'll step off that train into our glory where we are known by Him most of all, thank God, known by each other, be known of each other, and be in that place of final rest. So do not fear. The world cannot rob you of what God has given you. One more scripture in 1 Timothy, we'll close out. 1 Timothy 1 and 7. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 1 and 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God doesn't give that. But God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind to recognize and reason. What do I have to fear? Whom shall I fear? If God be for me, who can be against me? Whom shall I fear? Nobody. God doesn't give us that spirit of fear. That is the devil and that is the enemy. That's why we rebuke it and we bind it. I said it many times. If you're in fear, it's not a God thing. You don't think, well, God's trying to show me. No, God never, ever, ever, ever dwells or deals with us in fear. Now, there's an awe fear of God, a reverence fear of God. Yes, I'm talking about if you're afraid and you're tormented, that ain't God tormenting you. Well, God tormented me because I sinned. That ain't God. God doesn't torment. God doesn't do that. That's the enemy tormenting. That's the enemy that brings condemnation, judgment, not God. God gives us power and love and a sound mind. So fear not, church. Lots going on in our country. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few years. We don't know. People are angry. People are upset. People are afraid. But as Christians, let us not fear. Let us keep loving, loving others, loving each other, loving God, and standing for truth. Not with fear. Fear destroys our lives, disrupts our home, disrupts our minds. People's on medication because of that. I mean, because they can't get any peace, and they medicate themselves trying to find peace. Just put your hands in the hand of the man from Galilee, as the old song says, and trust the Lord. He's got this. I mean, I look at my life and the times He's kept me in Melanie, the time I look at our lives and see how we're all still here, we're all still alive, we're all still intact, even though our two oldest ones now, their lives are in different directions, going different courses and away from home and this and that. But I know God's hand is still on both of them in their journey and protecting them and watching over their lives. And I give God praise for that, that He's watched over them. He's kept them from so many things that I think about all the times Christians drove back and forth from Greensboro through the years and that long ride on interstate and all that traffic, not one wreck, not one bump up, not one issue, not one breakdown, all those years of doing that. And, you know, just thank God for that. My son in Nebraska doing who knows what, thank God. God watched over him, protected him. He's still alive. He's still here. And God's hand's on him. And then Ashley starting high school, I know God's hand's going to be on her. And God's hand's on Melanie, and God's hand's on me, and God's hand on everybody. We all got children. God's hand on everybody. And I'm thankful for that. God's hand's even on Jeremy. Thank God for that. Yes. False, that's an acronym. Y'all need to write that down. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That is very good. That verse, that's the same verse that goes on to say, perfect love casts out fear. Yeah. It fixes so many things to love. And it's so much easier to love people than it is to hate people. It really is. You got to work to hate people. I mean, you got to work to hang on those grudges. You got to work at that. Love is just so, you give it away freely. It's awesome. All right. Good to see you, Sister Melanie. All right. Let's stand on our feet. We'll close out in prayer tonight. And if you have an offering tonight, you can come put that in the offering plate before you leave. And hope to see y'all Sunday morning. It's Father's Day Sunday. So we're going to honor all the dads in here, including me. And so I hope you can be here for that. Dads are good. See our sign that Shirley put up about dads out there? If you didn't read on the way out, she put a nice sign up about dads. So I appreciate that. Father, we thank you for this beautiful message of hope and faith to encourage our spirits. Just as you was with Caleb and Joshua and you did destroy those enemies, they did inhabit the land, you did take care of those giants, you so will take care of our giants today, Lord. You've not changed. we've moved. God, you're in the same place you've always been, on the throne. We just pray, God, for those battling fear tonight, for those that are afraid to even watch the news, or afraid to wake up tomorrow of what they'll hear, afraid to go anywhere or certain places. Lord, just flood your people with peace, 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 peace that passeth on understanding. Peace, Lord, to know you are with us, your rod and your staff, they will comfort us. You go before us, you are around us, and your angel armies are always with us. And we thank you, Jesus, that we are not alone, but your presence goes on and on forever in us. Bless hearts today. Let us leave here encouraged and more hopeful, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.